I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. A story featured on Fox News in Milwaukee caught our attention about teenagers living in the 53206 zip code of Milwaukee's Central City. It's an area with high unemployment, poverty, and a number of residents who are living in fear of violence and have been victims of violence. It is a dangerous part of the city, but there are good places, and one of them is the Children's Outing Association Youth and Family Center. It has been around for a long time. I didn't realize how long, actually. It was founded in 1906, and the mission is to help Milwaukee children, teens, and families reach their greatest potential through a combination of educational, recreational, and social work programs through its urban community centers and the rural camp facility. So it's been doing this kind of work for a long, long time. We have two people with us. The story that caught our attention was about Chris Morgan, who is credited with a basketball program at one of the centers, helping teens who have had tough lives focus on the right things, the positive things. And we have Chris with us this hour of our program and one of the teens that he has been working with. Chris Morgan is, why don't you give me your title, Chris, because you've been working as a staff member at which center, COA?
COA is Golden Center.
And where is that?
It is located on 23rd and Burleigh.
And your responsibilities there have been?
Well, currently I am working.
Oh, no, your mic isn't working very well, so we just want to get that fixed before. We can hear you, but let's go. Hold on a second. We'll get your mic fixed, and we'll introduce Brandon. Brandon Thompson is with us. He's a senior at Nova High School. He's grown up in the Amani neighborhood and has been a participant in COA since he was about 10 years old. Brandon, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me on your show.
Yeah, our pleasure. And you have a great voice. You should be on the radio, and you are, so that's a good thing. Chris, let's try another microphone for you. There we go. Okay.
I am currently working in the Burke Early Education Center of COA Golden, and it is located on Burleigh, 23rd and Burleigh.
Mm-hmm. And you've started this basketball program, which got some attention, written attention, and television attention for teens?
Yes, all high school students.
And so they come to the center, what, in the afternoons?
Yes, after school is, COA has an after school program for teenagers, where the young men and myself actually began to start our basketball program.
Mm-hmm. And it's really wildly successful. We'll talk about it in a moment. Tell me about the neighborhood, Brandon, and about your going to COA since you were 10 years old, which is quite some time. Do you go as kind of a respite? Is it a place where you feel more comfortable, safe?
COA is like a getaway place for me. It's like I can go there and be myself. Like, it keeps kids off the street. Like, as a kid, Morgan, he actually recommended me to come there. So when I came there, I felt kind of shy, but then I started opening up to kids. It's like the mining neighborhood was a little dangerous. Well, it's still a little dangerous, but since COA been there, it have got a little more kids off the street.
Mm-hmm. How is it dangerous? What have you been growing up in?
Gun violence. Oh. Drugs, a lot of things I've seen on the streets.
Mm-hmm. And you grew up in the neighborhood too, right, Chris?
Yes, I did.
And you had to grow up where there was a lot of gun violence as well?
Yes, ma'am. I grew up where it was like a lot of poverty and gun violence in the neighborhood, where a lot of families struggle. There wasn't like any resources for the families back when I was growing up in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. And both of you have had people very close to you who have been hurt by gun violence, haven't you?
Yes.
You want to talk about that?
I had a friend, Rico, who was killed trying to rob somebody. And we grew up together. It was kind of off. Hmm. And, like, that kind of really opened our eyes to see how bad it was in our neighborhood. So that's basically when we really started our basketball team, to get more teens to get in the program and play basketball.
Mm-hmm. And you, what kind of violence, Chris, have you witnessed in your life?
Well, I have witnessed, like I said, gun violence before, but I actually lost a cousin of mine's back in 2009, where me and him were actually standing on the corner, and when we separated and I walked down the street and he walked up, he was murdered. Mm. And so, like, I can actually hear the shots, but I continued to walk because I didn't, it's common to hear gunshots. But a few moments later, like, it was actually surreal for me because it was someone I knew very closely.
Yeah, I imagine. How do you explain the amount of violence that are in certain parts of the city? How do you explain the guns that are in the area and people's willingness to use them? And the second part of the question would be then, how do you get to establish a more peaceful neighborhood? That's obviously a huge question. There have to be a lot of things at play. But why is there so much violence?
Well, I really can't explain why it is so much violence, but I know to prevent what is going on in our neighborhoods, I feel that we should all take a stand together, more of a unified stand, and more of a system where everybody is more so family or family oriented, where a lot of people do lack support systems or do lack family members they can have people that they can confide in. And that's why programs like COA and the basketball program that I have is very special to the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. You have people you can confide in there, Brandon?
Yeah, a few people.
So you go there every day after school, or?
Yeah, every day.
Do you really?
Yeah, my school is right above it, so after I get out of school, I just go there.
Uh-huh. And what is it about playing basketball? Let's talk a little bit about the program, because I understand that it's become your traveling team in some ways now, too. Do you still have that?
Yes. We actually just came back from Peoria, Illinois.
Oh, you did? Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
You really are a traveling team.
Yes. And we won first place.
You won first place?
Yes,
yay.
Yes.
Congratulations. That's terrific.
Thank you.
How did that come about?
Well, when I first started it, a group of young men asked me to help them work on basketball skills. And so we started working on basketball skills, and then we wanted to take it a step farther, where they all would like to play AAU basketball, which is a traveling basketball team. And so we all decided that they are good enough to try. And I feel like everybody should have those opportunities to try. And so I told them if they can produce good grades, then I can produce a basketball team. Which kind of happened. And so we do homework together. You know, it's more of a family, like I said, a family structure for us. Like, I go check on them at school. I go to, like, whatever they need. We all just do it together, you know, whether it's homework or just life skills.
Mm-hmm.
And so it started off me mentoring and working with them, and working with basketball skills to becoming more of my younger brothers. Uh-huh. Young man that I really love being around.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of how it started.
Yeah. It really makes a difference, doesn't it, in all of our lives, to have somebody who's in your corner, to have somebody who says to you, you know, you've got this quality about you, I want to help develop it. Somebody gives you a place to talk, just somebody who's cheering for you. You really need, we all, even at, you know, my age, I think about people in my life who've been so important in that regard, be it a teacher or somebody like you. You need it.
Yeah, it really gives us hope to see somebody that's been in the same struggle as us can achieve more like him. So it really gives us hope and push us harder.
Are you a good basketball player?
Yeah.
You are, he said, with a grin on his face. He's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah. And this element of being able to go places, too, to get out of the neighborhood, to go to Peoria, to go to wherever you're going to go, to see parts of the world really changes your perspective on the world, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's great to see different places than other than Milwaukee. Before we started this basketball tournament, the furthest I've been was Iowa, Waterloo. So to go to Chicago and other places is really exciting.
Yeah, it is. So what about the challenge to get grades up? Did a lot of people on the team have to work pretty hard for that to happen? And was that the carrot that everybody was trying to get to, so they did get their grades up?
Yeah, we was working real hard. We really wanted to play basketball. It was like, before that, we were scared to ask for help, but once we knew that we can have a basketball team, everybody was asking for help. It's like everybody wanted help and everybody wanted their grades.
Huh. And what is it about basketball? What is it about the team experience that made everybody decide to do their homework and study really hard?
Well, basketball is fun. Everybody enjoys basketball. Basketball is like national. You know, you hear about basketball any and everywhere you go. And so for young men growing up in our community, basketball is like a safe haven. When you're on a basketball court or a part of a basketball team, you kind of don't worry about the outside world when you're with the team. And so I try to keep them together as much as possible. And that's why kind of I feel like it's fun for us, because you have somebody that you can always talk to. There's always somebody there that has your back. You know what I mean? Stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And some of the people who were featured in the TV and article about your organization said that it's also a place, some of the young men said that they were dealing with anger issues.
Yeah.
And it was a place to take out some of that anger on the court rather than in other ways.
Chris always told us, you feel like want to fight, go get a ball and play a one-on-one. Take your anger out on the court. Like, we all brothers, no need to fight. If you want to fight, fight it out on the court.
Mm-hmm. And did that message work? Does it resonate?
Yes, it does. It works because, like, basketball, like I said, it takes your mind off of a lot of things that happen. And so if you had an altercation earlier that day, when you come to the gym and you're playing basketball, you kind of don't think about what happened earlier. You kind of just more competitive, you know, like, and so that kind of takes over the fighting mode. Like, you just kind of forget what you were mad about and why you wanted to fight.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of becomes irrelevant after you pick up a basketball. It just kind of changes your whole mindset.
Mm-hmm. And then what happens when you leave school, when you leave the basketball court and you go home? Does it carry over in some way? Or still, I mean, you wish everybody could have that kind of experience and not have to deal with, you know, poverty and joblessness and all of that. Does it carry over to make your whole life better, your home life better in some ways?
Yeah. It when I go home after basketball and after school, I have a positive mind. Like, it's nothing that can change my mind. I'd be so happy. It's just
really
like,
makes you happy.
Yeah. It's just like, can't nothing ruin my night. I go home, get in the shower, and do homework, and think about the next day because I know I can do it all over again.
Hmm. Has it always been that way?
Yeah. Most. It's ever since I started playing basketball.
Hmm. So you've always been a good guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could kind of tell by hearing you. Is that true for a lot of these people? Or are they good guys who came to the place, or are there people who have kind of changed their lives pretty dramatically, Chris?
It kind of fluctuates. It only depends on, like, well, the first group, you had different challenges. You had some that struggled with home life. You had some that didn't have anything, where the only time they had a meal was when they came to COA. So, mm-hmm. You know, it kind of varies. It depends on where they come from, you know what I mean? And so for me, it was just like kind of finding out what those needs were and then like trying to become in tune with the young men that I were working with. And so the ones that struggled or really didn't have much, I kind of, you know, took on that load myself. And I also started, like I said, when I were mentoring the young men, we kind of did like job searches and resume building, cover letters, just teaching them how to be resourceful for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And teaching, giving them the resources that they needed to make them have a better situation.
Why are you doing this?
It's just something I like doing. I like to see things better. I feel like Milwaukee is a great place to live, and I love Milwaukee. And I also want to help people when I see that they need help.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds like the needs are many from what you just described.
Yes, it is.
What do we do about that? How do we change that? How do we make everybody's future bright as possible and filled with wonderful possibilities instead of having to worry about not finding a job and violence in their communities? What do we do about it?
What I'm doing now. Actually trying to empower each other versus taking each other down or talking about each other and kind of laughing at each other or whatever. Like, that's just something I don't do. I would rather help you than to laugh at you. And so that's kind of like a philosophy that I live by myself, is a helping hand goes a long way for many people.
Mm-hmm. How do you answer that, Brandon? What can we do?
I would say nothing lasts forever. It's like, if you're at bottom, it's only one way you can go to the top. You just have to find someone that motivates you, or you can be the motivator. It's up to people to take leadership and like Chris Morgan, he took leadership in getting us off the street and getting us into basketball programs. So now that I seen him do that, I kind of try to do that with the little kids at the COA. Like, they get mad at each other, I tell them to talk it out or play basketball, because it's a lot of kids at COA that love to play basketball. So I tell them there's no reason to fight. If you want to fight, take it out on the basketball court.
Mm-hmm. You're a senior in high school. What are your plans?
I wanted to go to Navy, but I'm really considering going to play basketball for college.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, you're a good basketball player. Wow. So how will you do that? Are you looking for, are you sending out resumes to teams or what?
Yeah, we just started that. We actually just made a player profile for me, so I will be sending a few colleges my player profile.
That's pretty exciting, huh?
Yeah.
Are you helping with that, Chris?
Yes, and we are actually showing them how to create their own player profiles, which is like just, you know, the name, height, birthday, basic information about themselves as far as school and what your class rank is and everything like that. Mm-hmm. And then you take it to the statistics of the basketball game, like your shooting percentage and showing them how to average up the percentage and everything like that.
Hmm. Do you do a video of you doing basketball too?
Yeah, we actually have been doing a lot of videos.
Yeah.
And we have been getting noticed a lot. We've been really working.
Who's noticing you?
It's a lot of people. We just actually went to a thing here that they had called Oscar Night, when Chris Morgan ran the Rising Stars Award for this year. So it was kind of exciting. We got to dress in suits. It was fun. It was a fun night.
Yeah. And what about, so let's talk about jobs. It would be great if you could be a basketball star sometime, and maybe, and I do hope that happens for you. It sounds like you're trying to make it happen. But what about making jobs available for all of the young people that you're working with, Chris? There are many of them jobs. Unemployment among African Americans particularly is very high in this city. How do you break that?
Well, like I said, I actually show them how to build a resume and a cover letter, and we actually work closely with the young men to make sure to prepare them for interviews. Like, so for example, I take Brandon and me and him will go build his resume and cover letter, and then we would find him the attire, business attire, so that he can look presentable for an interview. And so I feel like a lot of us don't know how, and it's the fact of us not knowing how is what enables us.
Mm-hmm. Is college the answer? Are there other kinds of job possibilities in this community or beyond this community for the young men you're working with?
I'm big on academics, so I do believe that college is for everybody. However, I can't force anyone to like take the college route. And I mean, if you do want to work, I always tell them that the best job that you will receive will be after college. That's just my belief.
Where do you want to be eventually, Brandon?
After college, I either want to, if I don't go to the NBA, I either want to work around basketball or want to give back to my community.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, I get a job at COA to give back.
Mm-hmm. Well, to give you encouragement, our youngest boy only wanted to be around baseball. And he graduated from college fairly recently and got a job with a professional baseball team. Not playing, but in the field. So yeah, it can happen. You know, I mean, I was amazed, too. You really got a job in this field that you absolutely love? This is a good thing. It can happen.
Yeah. And that's what I tell them, that anything can happen. All you have to do is give effort. If you put effort into anything that you're doing, you probably will be successful.
Mm-hmm. Let's welcome some phone calls from our listeners. We're talking about this, well, it's more than the basketball program at COA on Burleigh, the Youth and Family Center. They've been around for a long time, and they do meals, they do job interviews and how to get ready for a job, and giving young people, older young people and young people a place to go where it's safe and where people care about them. It's in a really tough area in Milwaukee, and has been, the organization been around since, 1906, isn't that something?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a long time. We'll talk about the origins in a moment. We welcome your phone calls. Here's how you reach our conversation. Brandon Thompson is a senior at Nova High School. He's grown up in the Imani neighborhood and has been a participant in COA since he was about 10 years old. He's a star basketball player, and he's putting his resume together and video. So if any of you are listening who are in colleges, we have a lot of people, you know, in education who are listening. He'll be happy to send you a resume, right? So just let us know, and we'll help him out here. And Chris Morgan has been working with COA for quite some time. He is with the COA Youth and Family Center, and he does the basketball program, which is wildly successful. They now have a team that's a traveling team, and they're traveling all over and doing very, very well. Here's how you reach our conversation. Our number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@wpr.org. Our Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show, and we're on Twitter as well, and that's at K Dunn Show. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This hour, we have a lot going on. We're talking about this wonderfully successful basketball program at the COA Youth and Family Center on Burleigh Street in Milwaukee, and our guests have been participating in the program. You know, it's interesting how sports can make you a better student and give you a sense of team and a sense of family and a broader sense of the world. So we're talking about the importance of this program, the basketball program, where Chris is a director of the program, and he's also working as a teacher in early education at the program. Chris is with us, Chris Morgan, and also Brandon Thompson, who's a heck of a basketball player, senior at Nova High School, has grown up in the Imani neighborhood in Milwaukee and a participant in COA since he was about 10 years old. So how do we make lives better for all, particularly those who have really hard circumstances, is the thrust of this hour. And we welcome your phone calls. Our number is 800-486-8655. We have this message, email message. This is the most uplifting show she's heard in a long time. If more people would talk about this sort of thing, our world would be a much better place. Chris, what do you think of that?
I think that that's very true. I feel like enough people don't speak up, or we don't really address the problems that we really have. And if we can address the problems that we really have, then we can make ourselves better.
Mm-hmm. Brandon, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that'd make a big difference if people speak up, and instead of not saying, and like, speak up. You can't be heard if you don't speak.
And what do we need to speak up about?
Right now, we need to speak up about the youth. How a lot of our youth are troubled and going through a lot of different things. We need to help them, actually reach out and try and help somebody versus not saying anything or just turning around, turning your back. Like, actually go and see what's wrong with that young man. Actually try and talk to a young person that you see that you feel is troubled. Like, just actually trying to reach out and help someone.
And how do we do that as a whole community? How do we do that from people, rich people, poor people, policymakers, people who are in government, whatever? How do we do that together?
Together we can do that through programs such as COA or my basketball program, where we have places for the young people, or we have resources for the young people to make situations better. So if we can keep programs like this running and keep the programs like this involved in different things in the community, like you said, the policymakers and the rich people, if the rich people would actually show their faces and become more visual in the movement or the approach of trying to help, would do a lot.
Mm-hmm. How many people come to the basketball programs and to COA? Is it a large number?
Yeah, it's a really large number.
And they come almost every day?
Yeah. It's like everybody loves to come play basketball.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we do. It's like when we get there, it's homework help. Then after that, we go play basketball.
Yeah. So you are getting homework done too?
Yes, homework is the first priority.
You can't play basketball until you've done. Chris is shaking his head. You can't play basketball until you've done your homework. Chris, is that right?
Yeah, Chris will not let us on the court until that homework is done.
Well, what's your technique? Is it just basketball, or how do you, when somebody first walks in and says, "Hey, I'm thinking about, I really want to be on the basketball team, but isn't a very good student and hasn't done homework," how do you get them to do it, Chris?
Just talking about school, just talking about life in general. First, I try to make a connection with the young men, just talking, just basic conversation. What do you like? Things that you like to do. What do you like about school? What don't you like about school? What do you struggle with in school? So it's like a host of questions, and I kind of grill them, you know, just to make sure and be intentional with what I'm doing. So if I'm grilling you and you tell me that you struggle with math or science, then I know that this is something that we can connect on, because I actually love math and science.
Do you?
Yes.
Great.
And so then our conversation comes from, we change the conversation from about school to just, like I said, life. What do you like to do on your spare time? How are you under this type of situation or this type of pressure? Just a host of things.
Mm-hmm.
And then we finally get to basketball last.
Mm-hmm. And tell me about your years there, Brandon. You have gone since you're 10. You've been going for 8 years now. Tell me about what you were doing when you were 10 and how this organization has maybe changed the way your life has gone, so you're now a young man of 18.
Yeah. Before COA, I was just running around being a knucklehead.
A knucklehead, really?
Yeah. I was out on the streets running around, and Chris saw me one day and stopped me. He was like, "You should come in COA." I'm like, "No, that's boring. That, I don't want to do that." Then he like, "Just give it a try. Everything's worth a try." So I gave it a try, and at first I didn't really like it because of the programs. I'm like, "I just want to go in the gym." That's the first thing I say. Like, I just want to go in the gym. But then after I started doing the programs, it really opened my eyes to see how much more I can learn there. And then it really expanded my learning ability. And after that, I really just started, like, to go in there.
Yeah. So do you like science and math now?
Yeah. He actually showed me an easier way of doing math, because
it was hard for you?
Yeah. That's why I say most kids probably don't like school, because they don't get enough help and they don't really get to fully understand, because most classes have, I want to say, a good 30 to 35 kids, and it's one teacher.
Right.
So the teacher really can't get to everybody. So it really be frustrating, but you have to find a way around it. Like, you have to find somebody that can help you.
Yeah. Have you liked school? Have you always liked school or not?
Not really, but now that I really get the understanding of things and I get extra help, I love school.
Mm-hmm.
Like, school can take you far away. Education can take you far away. Your mind is a terrible thing to waste.
That's true. I like that. Let's take some phone calls. Our number is 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org. Linda is calling in Door County. Hi, Linda.
Hi. I just wanted to say what a refreshing show you have today. In the world we live in, full of greed and self-interest, it's just wonderful to hear about someone who cares about others and is willing to help show them the way and find their way to reach their potential. And I think we can all learn from these people. And just, I wish we would see everybody doing this.
Thank you, Linda, for the call. Chris.
Thank you. Thank you, Linda. I really appreciate what you just said, and I also just, I feel the same way that you do. I feel like if it was more people actually doing the same thing, that we wouldn't have such a bad reputation as a city, or we wouldn't have the areas that are the worst, as people like to say it. We wouldn't have those bad areas if everybody could just try.
And if there were possibilities for everybody too, you have to have something to work for, right? You have to have a place to go.
Yeah.
beyond the basketball court, you have to have a place to go to. I want to thank you very much, Linda, for your call. I always have wondered about this, because I wonder what it is that makes some people who have experienced horrible things in their lives, as both of you have, and yet look at what you're doing, Chris, and your heart of gold and working with young people and making a difference in their lives, and you're no longer a knuckleball, Brendan. But you also, there are some people who have taken really bad routes in tough parts of the city, bad routes everywhere, certainly, but when you look at violence, it disproportionately falls on African-American and, unfortunately, youth in the city of Milwaukee. It's tragic. What is it that makes... Are the circumstances so overwhelming that it's just sort of natural to be attracted to a gang or something that will allow you that sense of family and community, and then you just take up with a violent kind of life? Or what is it that makes you say, no, I'm not going to do that, even if nobody's in your corner, even if you don't have much family support, I want something different for myself, and so you go a different route where you're doing something that Chris is doing. You know what I'm saying? The path that we choose, even despite insurmountable odds, why do some people choose to try to do something different?
I think that people choose to do something different is when you get tired of saying the same thing, when you get tired of dealing with the pain or the suffering from those losses, like the ones that we both have took. And so it was like, for me, it was kind of like I didn't want to continue to deal with those type of problems growing or throughout my life. I didn't want to have to keep mourning over a loved one that I've lost due to senseless violence. I didn't want to have to go home and worry about what I'm going to eat the next day. So what I did was I tried to make it a better way for myself and for the young people that I'm around, to try to show them that even through all of the things that we are challenged with, or that we face, and that are obstacles in our way, that we can overcome them all, no matter what. Like, as long as we continue to stand up and fight or stand up and push, we can overcome any challenge that comes our way.
Did you ever feel in your life you were going to go another way?
There were times that I did feel that way. But, like I said, even at a young age, I was losing family members to violence. And I wasn't really aware of what was going on. And so it kind of made me numb to what was going on in my neighborhood. Because growing up, I've seen drive-bys. I've seen people shot. It happened often. And so growing up, like I said, it just happened so much that you were immune to it. So when my cousin got shot, like I said, we were immune to hearing gunshots. So I continued to walk the other way until I found out that it was actually a loved one, someone that I knew dearly, someone that I've grown with for 21 years, close. And so things like that are what, situations like that is what made me decide not to continue to go down that path, not to even entertain going that way, not even to have those type of thoughts about going that way, but to actually try and better the situation and in the area that it happened. So now when I'm walking down that street, I don't want to have to think, oh, well, this is the spot where my cousin was killed. I want to think, oh, well, we're going to do a community cleanup, and this is the block we just cleaned. I don't want to go down this street and be like, oh, that's the field where someone was just killed 2 days ago. I want to go on that field and actually plant gardens. You know what I mean? It's just like a whole different approach to life after going through tragic situations.
Yeah. So how do you get the drive-by shootings to stop?
That's a tough question. I really don't have an answer for that. But I just feel like a lot of shootings and a lot of senseless violence will stop if we have better opportunities. If we give ourselves better choices, or we actually take the time to think about what we're doing before we do it, that a lot of senseless things wouldn't happen.
Same question to you, Brendan.
I want to say I chose my route from seeing...
You want to be closer to the mic, thanks.
I chose my route from seeing friends going to jail, friends being shot, and my mom struggle. That one really motivated me. Like, I don't seeing my mom struggle with us when we were kids and we were homeless, like, it really motivated me.
You didn't have a home?
No.
What happened?
We actually got put out and our lights got cut off. So that
we just did a show on that. I don't know if you know about this book, Evicted, which is, it's really receiving national attention about how many of those evictions take place.
Yeah, so yeah. That really motivated me to go on a good route, knowing that I can, that I had a talented that go far, and I can get in school to help out my mom. And I wouldn't say I accomplished my goals until my mom don't have to work no more.
Do you have a lot of brothers and sisters?
I'm actually the youngest. I have an older brother and four older sisters.
Are they doing okay?
Yeah. My brother actually works for Waco Group. He really motivates me. Like, him and Chris always on my back. You got your work done. You hit the gym today? All right. It's like, they always on my back, always calling to check up on me. Like, even my brother now, he still do stuff for me to take some of the load off my mother and take some of the load off me so I can focus on basketball.
How's your mom doing?
Right now, she's doing great. Yesterday was her birthday, so she's she was kind of excited yesterday.
She's not as old as I am. Oh, another birthday. And your dad?
My dad's doing great.
All right, let's go back to phone calls. Our number is 800-486-8655. Actually, we have to pause first for a moment, and then we'll go back to calls. 800-486-8655. Email talk at WPR.org. Facebook, The Kathleen Dunn Show. We're talking this hour about a COA program in the 5206 zip code area, which is a tough area in Milwaukee, that has really blossomed and allowed the participants to blossom in so many ways. It's a lot of things go on with COA. They're doing tutoring and getting a safe place for very young people all the way up through high school, a place to get their homework done and have an encouraging word and somebody who's got your back. And they also have started, one of our guests, this basketball program, which has been enormously successful, and it's resulted in a traveling team and bonding, and people get their homework done because they want to play basketball. So that's good. But it's addressing, Chris just eloquently described what he's doing in his neighborhood as well, to put gardens where there has been violence and to try to change the feel of a community. Chris Morgan with COA is with us. Brandon Thompson, who's a star basketball player, senior at Nova High School, grew up in this neighborhood, and they're our guests. So we'll take more phone calls in a moment here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. All right, we have a lot of phone calls, coming in for you gentlemen. And so let's go again, and this time to Lynn in Eau Claire. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, Kathleen, and my hat's off to you gentlemen, Brandon and Chris, to have the faith in yourself to say it stops with me. I grew up in a white suburb south of Chicago where we didn't talk about domestic violence, and I grew up in a very violent home, and I made the decision that it stops with me. Sometimes the crazy you know is safe, you know, then safer you feel than the unknown, and the whole world opens up for you when you take the responsibility it'll snowball. You have made a difference, and you will continue to make a difference because it stops with you. And I'm overjoyed at your courage. Thank you.
Thank you. We really appreciate that.
Thank you very much for the call. Let's go next to George in Milwaukee. Hi, George.
Hey, congratulations for what you're doing. It's incredibly impressive. My question for you is, do you see the model that you've created there as transferable to other cities or locations like Chicago?
Yes, I do. I feel like this model is transferable to anybody, anywhere. I feel like if you take a stand and say that it's not going to continue, or I'm not going to continue to watch things like this happen, then yes, it's transferable to anyone.
And do you know if there are, I'm sure there must be something in Chicago, are there such programs in other cities? Do you play basketball against teams in Chicago?
Yes, we do. And I think the difference between our program and what makes it unique is we have COA, is that we have programming that actually relates to the young men, and that we have programs that can that keep the young people involved in what's going on. And so it's a lot of different aspects to it. Basketball is just something that has gotten a lot of attention, but we focus more on academics and programming more than anything, actually building a real relationship with the young people.
Well, sometimes we do live in a society where people watch sports and people love sports, and it's it is a good way to have a team and to get exercise and to take out, you know, what you might, some aggression, some anger you might have about what's going on in your life, which is legitimate, but it's a legitimate way to get rid of some of that. So as long as we live in a world where sports are all around, and why not use it, huh? Why not use it as a reward? Do you think there are, Brandon, you've found COA and have for a number of years, are there a number of organizations, are there places for young people to go, or not enough?
I could say we could have more, but there is a lot of places you can go, like the Boys and Girls Club. They do have after-school programs like COA. It's just, I could say we can, it, we really can build a lot more. If we build a lot more, we can get a lot more kids off the street.
Let's go to Melissa in Stevens Point. Hi, Melissa.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
A really inspiring program. I'm wondering, with this election season upon us, I'm just wondering how much do you, does the program like encourage civic education or participation in the political process, not necessarily like talking about candidates or who to vote for, but just kind of demystifying what the process is and encouraging people to get involved, not just in presidential politics, but local elections and local politics. Is that in any way at all a component of what you're doing?
We do actually like make sure that they are aware of what's going on, not to be walking through life blind. And so we do teach them about politics and about the local politics and stuff like that. We do teach them that, but it's not something that we dwell on. It's not like we go off into it and go into very much detail about it, but we do show them and let them know the importance of the politicians.
Mm-hmm. Brandon, are you interested in politics? Or
yeah, we actually had a conversation in school about that today.
What'd you talk about?
Seeing, like, who would you vote for? Like, actually seeing who's more into education and who's really going to help us out. So they weren't really telling us who to vote for, but they were showing us, like, who's really more about the people instead of not, like, helping us out, like, want to downgrade us. So they was really showing us who's really about education and who's really about want to help families out. So
yeah, well, I wonder if you have faith in the political system, both of you, because the problems that we've been addressing them on this air for a long time, the problems between those who have and those who have not, the gap has increased enormously, certainly during your lifetime, Brandon, and over the last 30 years or so. Do you have faith that a political process can make lives better for the people you're working with, Chris?
I do think so. I do think that to some extent, I feel like the political people can, or the political elections and stuff like that can have an effect on us directly, but I feel like it's us who impact ourselves more than anybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's like what we're actually doing outside right there on that corner is what directs me most versus the politician.
Yeah, I understand that. That makes sense. Melissa, thank you very much for your call. We have some lines open in the last minutes if you'd like to join us. Our number is 800-486-8655. Nancy sends this email, how can we help the basketball program? I'm sure you'll love to hear this question. Can we donate money? I suspect the answer would be yes. Where would we send it? We can put this on our Facebook page too. Are there other programs for students who don't play basketball, and is there a program for girls?
There is a program for girls, and I have a few like resources that will be more beneficial for young women that don't play sports or people that don't play sports.
Mm-hmm.
But COA has a lot of different programming to offer, and my basketball program has a lot of different programming to offer. And like even with my basketball program, young women are more than welcome to come. Even if you don't like basketball, there's a lot of other things that we can work on that you may do like, that some things that you may like. And a way to get involved with the basketball program is you can actually call myself or Jennifer Johnson, and or you can email me or Jen on our Milwaukee's Running Gun Elite email, which is the basketball program.
All right, what is that?
The email for that is MKE Run and Gun.
Run and Gun
Elite.
ELITE. Is that AND? Is there an AND in that? Run and Gun?
Yes, run and gun. And at gmail.com. Yeah. And so you can just like shoot us an email or something, and then we can exchange information or go about the process.
Okay. And I'll bet there are a lot of, I mean, there are terrific girls basketball teams. There were none of those when I was growing up. So you could, you know, you just need somebody to start a program for girls. Is it successful as the one that you have going, right, Brandon?
Yeah.
That'd be a good thing. Let's go to Connie in Stevens Point. Hi, Connie.
Hi there. I just was wondering how their program is funded. I know like Boys and Girls Club has great national funding, but from a little or smaller community like a COA is in, how are they funded?
Okay.
COA is funded through a lot of different...
We have somebody from COA with us. We're running out of time, so if you do want to just tell us, come on over. Oh, no. Yeah, sure. Yeah, you'll need to take a microphone.
Sure.
Okay.
COA is funded by a variety of different...
Closer to the mic.
COA is funded by a lot of different private foundations as well as individual donors. We get money from the City of Milwaukee through the CDGA grant program because of the great social services we provide through people like Christopher.
Okay, great. Thank you. And let's go to James in Portage. Hi, James.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Sounds like a great program, and I'm actually an education major at a state university here in Wisconsin, and I'll be graduating soon. You mentioned about ways to get involved in this program. I was curious what if you guys are short-staffed or what's the staff look like there?
Yeah, you're more than welcome to come over and give us a chat. Like, we definitely can use all the help that we can get.
All right.
And we're hiring right now.
And they're hiring right now. This was the call you were supposed to make, James. Right?
Thank you, yep.
Okay, thanks very much for your call. That's almost all the time that we have. But thank you both so much for being with us and being so open about everything. Hope we didn't make you feel uncomfortable at any time.
No.
And all the best. You know, Brandon, I'll be interested in... I do hope somebody will look at your video as a result of your being... Because it's a big thing to be on the radio, too. You know, if somebody wants to get a hold of either of our guests, we will leave, again, on our Facebook page that address to get a hold of COA or any more information. But if you'd like to get a hold of us, just put a message on the Facebook page and we'll make sure that Chris or Brandon gets it. Thank you both so much. All the best to you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Our guest from COA is very successful, not only a basketball program, it's a program in how to have a good life. Chris Morgan, who's early education, young education person, and started the whole basketball program and does all kinds of things in the community, as you heard during this hour. And also Brandon Thompson, who's grown up in the Imani neighborhood and has been a participant in COA since he was about 10 years old. Thanks to both of them for being with us. Thanks to Scotty Myers for producing this very interesting hour, and thanks to Lisa Nalbandian for on-air production here in our studios in downtown Milwaukee. News is coming up. Tomorrow, the first hour of our show, the president has nominated someone to be on the Supreme Court. It's already controversial. It's been controversial before he nominated the person. We'll talk about that with a Yale University professor. First hour and second hour, we'll be celebrating March 17th, which, of course, is St. Patrick's Day.